Today is a day of possibilities, a day of miracles. I have faith in my spirit. I just hope you didn't come as a matter of tradition. I hope that you came with expectation. I think it's a crime to show up in God's presence without expectation. Because Jesus met people and told them, according to your faith, so be it to you. Matthew 9:29, in the Good Speed translation of the Bible, it says that Jesus said, have what your faith expects. Two men and their eyes were opened instantly. Jesus didn't tell them what to get. He said, have whatever you are expecting. So that their eyes opened means that was what they were expecting. So I should ask, what are you expecting? So if what they were expecting was some small change, that's what they would have gotten. It was a blank check. That's why I say it's a crime to show up before God without an expectation. But I am certain that there is someone here today. What you're getting is literally a miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for Pastor Buki and for his beautiful wife. I celebrate God's grace on your lives. It's very evident that God's grace is on their lives. And when God positions you in a church like this, then you have to be wise enough not to be running all over the place. Tap into that grace that God has placed on your pastor. Amen. Draw on it. When I asked God, how do I get grace? He said, you can get it through prayer. You can get it through the meditation in the word. He said, but you can also get it from someone who already has it. Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his disciples. The Bible says, and he gave them power. So he said, you can get it from someone who already has it. That's why God positions a pastor in your life. It's a contact point for grace. Contact point for the supernatural. You trivialize your pastor, you get nothing. The woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' clothes, and the power of God flowed and stopped the flow of blood. 12 years. And then Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, there are so many people pushing you. So it's not about pushing Jesus. It's about having faith in your heart and honoring him. Seeing that what makes your pastor is the grace of God. Because some people sit in the church and they say, how old is he? That's talking about their pastor. How old is he? What does he know really? You've missed it. God choosing a man or woman to be pastor is not dependent on those factors. It's not dependent on age. It's not dependent on academic accomplishments. It's not dependent on financial status. It's a function of the mercy of God. He just chooses who he wants to use. But once he's chosen someone like that, when you are smart, you tap into that anointing. Amen. God will give us wisdom. I think you have the best pastors in the world. Don't you think so? Amen. We should celebrate them. We should honor them. And always pray for your pastor, for his wife, for their family. Some people don't pray for their pastors. When you pray for your pastor, you pray for yourself. You see, if Satan had his way, he would not allow me to wake up this morning. Because I'm doing damage to his kingdom. So that there's nothing he can do about it. So, but you have to learn to pray, because Satan is every day planning, scheming. Some people just envy us because of our fame. They envy us because we wear fine suit. It's more than fine suit. You know, we come under a lot of attacks and all that. And in the church, you shouldn't join with the gossip. You shouldn't join in with the gossip. It's wicked people that gossip in the church. You shouldn't allow anybody to say any evil about your pastor in your presence. Whatever anybody can say in the presence of the pastor should tell you. Shouldn't tell you in secret. Go and tell the pastor. Or if you can't say it, then pray. That's the first thing to do, really, isn't it? To expect the pastor to be perfect is a big mistake. Am I right? There's no perfect pastor anywhere. All of us are walking towards perfection. And God will help us. Amen. We are work in progress. I don't know why I'm going into that, but I think I'm helping someone to reposition, to realign. You shouldn't be here for nothing, because there's anointing on your pastors. Amen. So thank you for serving. Thank you for giving to the Lord. More grace. In Jesus' name. Thank God for Pastor Gwenga. Awesome man, isn't he? Awesome man of God. So happy to see you again. Thank God for Professor Molewa. It's just such a joy to see him. Amen. Thank God for his life, for his service to God, to humanity, to this nation. We need many more people like him, don't we? And I believe that the grace of God on his life has jumped on some people's heads. This church, God will reproduce his testimony many times over in the name of Jesus Christ. And all his life he's been sowing. So we believe God, it's a season of harvest. His dreams will be fulfilled. Prayers answered with rest in Jesus' name. God bless you, Bishop. And our dear pastor, all the way from Johannesburg. Wow. Thank you for coming all the way to be a blessing to us. Amen. You know, I'm taking all this time to greet. When I was coming in, Pastor Buki was teaching. And when I asked, he said he was teaching the 12 laws of harvest. And I said, Kai, what will be left for us to teach now? So I want to use half of my time to greet so that I won't have much time to preach. You understand? Wisdom is profitable to direct. When he came to the office, we said, Pastor Buki, you shouldn't have done 12. You should have done only 6. Then I'll be able to do the remaining 6 now. Hallelujah. I know that I came to prophesy. I sense clearly in my spirit, for someone, it's not just a shift, it's an evolution. Yeah. And I came in, that was what I was hearing in my spirit, and I came in and I was hearing that word, evolution. In other words, your state is changing. Yeah. I'll read Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 29. I'm reading from the King James Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Amen. Unlimited harvests, unlimited possibilities. God wants you to be fruitful. You have a divine mandate from God to be fruitful. The first words that God spoke to man was, be fruitful. He says, and God blessed them or empowered them to prosper and gave them the mandate, be fruitful, and multiply. So God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to increase. God wants you to multiply. He said, replenish the earth and subdue it. Rule over it and have dominion. It's progressive. The starting point is being fruitful. Then you can move from one level of fruitfulness to the other. But he says, when you are fruitful, you'll be able to replenish the earth. You'll be able to take over territories and to rebuild them into what God designed. Then he says, you'll be able to subdue the earth. You'll be able to rule over it and to have dominion. The reason why our theme for this convention is very important is because your dominion is tied to your fruitfulness. Your dominion is tied to your multiplication. It's tied to your increase. It's the process of being called harvest. Okay, it's when you go through that process, then you harvest. But your dominion, your capacity for mastery in this life is tied to your fruitfulness. We were not designed to be victims. Being a victim of circumstances is contrary to man's destiny. And that's why when we are being buffeted by circumstances, harassed by situations, when we don't feel in charge or in control, such a situation breeds negative emotions, breeds frustration, breeds depression, discouragement, hopelessness. Those negative emotions cause our bodies to malfunction. Our bodies secrete hormones in excessive quantity and create problems in the physical body. Because we were not designed to be dominated by circumstances. We're designed for mastery. Dominion must be your expectation. And if you are going to walk in dominion, then you realize you must be fruitful. Amen. You cannot be fruitful if you are not seedful. You can't be fruitful if there are no seeds. God knows that. So before he gave man that marching order, he had created the seed. That's why he went back to the issue of the seed in verse 29. He went back to the issue of the seed in verse 29, where he said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. You can't produce fruit without seed. Anyone who wants to get harvests must value seeds. Am I right? No seeds, no harvests. And I think that the seed is one of the most sophisticated things that God invented. The seed. I marvel at the seed. I think about the wisdom that God invested in creating the seed. Remarkable. Remarkable. It was in Genesis 1:11. That he created the plants and said that they should have seeds that would cause them to reproduce after their kind. Very interesting. So I plant a seed, it grows, produces fruit, and then I have many more seeds that I can plant. How a seed, an orange seed, changes and grows into a tree. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. Pure miracle. Because if I hold some orange seeds in my hand and I ask, where did these come from? You would say, oh, from a fruit, an orange fruit. Where did the fruit come from? From an orange tree. That tree, where did it come from? From an orange seed. That seed, where did it come from? From an orange fruit, which came from an orange tree, which came from an orange seed, right? We'll keep going back like that, isn't it? Till we get to the first orange tree that God created in the Garden of Eden. So just think about it. It means that the orange seed that I have in my hand were in fruit that were in trees, or on trees that were in seeds that were in fruits that were... Okay. See, the implication is God saw the oranges that we would eat today, and he had put them in the orange tree that he created when he created Adam. Very interesting. So he had put my oranges that we have today, squeezed them, wired them somehow into seeds that he wired, into some fruits that he wired, into some trees that he wired, or should we say compressed, you know, each generation into the previous generation of seeds and backed them up like that. When he was creating the seed, he had factored in millions of years ahead. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. Do you realize that God gave man tremendous capacity because he created him in his own image? But there is one thing man has not been able to do. He's not been able to create a seed. Amen? If he has that capacity, he would create new species of plants and animals. The seed. I mean, to create a seed is to create life. The seed is powerful. Anyone, the implication of what I'm saying is this, anyone who will walk in dominion on this planet must value seeds. You must respect seeds. You must honor seeds, and you must locate the seeds that God has invested in your life. You cannot be fruitful if you are not seedful. When you ask for a harvest, God gives you a seed. Because your harvest is in the seed. That's why many people don't recognize the answers to their prayers. They don't even realize their prayers have been answered. Because what they got was smaller than what they were expecting. And they don't have enough vision to see that the harvest is in the seed. Only God can create a seed. But I thank God. I thank God. Because he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He will give you your own seed. That's what this service is about. He will start something new in your life. This service terminates barrenness. Every form of it. Wherever lack of fruitfulness has existed in anyone's life. Wherever, I declare as a messenger of God, it is terminated. In the name of Jesus Christ. The seed that became Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit that planted it inside Mary. She didn't meet a man. The angel said to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee, and that thing that shall be conceived of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost that did that comes on you today. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some things are going to happen in your life. They will be branded by God. Is that thing that will be conceived of you will be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, it will not be a product of human ability. And I'm talking about every area of your life. I'm talking about your finances. I'm talking about your ministry. I'm talking about your house. I'm talking about your car. I'm talking about your health. I'm saying that in Jesus' name, some things are going to happen in your life. It will be evident it was not God that did them. Your promotion. Let me retract that. It will be evident that it is not man that did them. It will be evident that it is God that did them. Your promotion is coming. It will be obvious that the promotion, the increase, the expansion, the enlargement that happened in your life, it was God that did it. It will be beyond your human capacity. There are different kinds of seeds, obviously. We have human seeds. It's interesting that when God created man, I know he's God. When he squeezed Adam's body, he could have formed 10 billion human bodies at the same time. He's God. I don't place any limit on my own God. He's God. It's just in his, because of his wisdom, that's why he decided to do it the way he did it. He could have formed 10 billion human beings. When he breathed into Adam's nostrils, he could have breathed into 10 billion nostrils at the same time, and all 10 billion would have become living beings. Am I right? Yes. Easy, cheap. In his wisdom, he decided to create one man, create one woman, and then he left the rest of the job to us. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Just to let us know how he sees us. And the capacity is given us. Remember, Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created. That's the first attribute we have of God. Created. God is the ultimate creator. He has the capacity to bring into existence things that have never existed before. And Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, now let us make man in our own image after our own likeness. What does that mean? We also are creators. We are created in his image, after his likeness. We have the capacity to bring into existence things that have never existed before. Yes, sir. This blessing of today is coming on someone to ensure you will never be stranded in your life again. When you are a creator, you have capacity to invent new ways. Let us create man in our own image after our own likeness. The most valuable asset God created on this planet is the human being. And even in the creation of the human being, he didn't finish the creation. He only started it and left the rest of the job to us. So today, man and a woman come together. We have the power to bring into existence human beings that have never existed before. We're more powerful than we think we are. Amen. It's just that. He has called us to create more things than human beings. Thank you, Lord. Be fruitful and multiply. The only part we took was to be fruitful with human beings. You need to create the food too, that they will eat. Hallelujah. Create the houses they will live in. Create the cars they will ride. Create the clothes that they will have on. Amen. We are co-creators with God. There are different kinds of seeds. So we have human seeds. You began your life as a seed. We have animal seeds. All the animals God created have seeds in them. And we can cultivate them. That's why we have livestock farming. We have plant seeds. We cultivate them. We have crops. We have food to eat and to sell. Our wealth is tied to it. Our dominion is tied to it. Our material things are seeds. Our material possessions are seeds. I discovered over time that I could give my wristwatch. I could give someone my shoes. I could give my clothes. And I found out that the laws of sowing and reaping also work on those kinds of seeds. I've had the privilege of giving out cars And I just found out the cars keep coming. I can't stop it because I put the principle to work. Sowing and reaping is a principle. A principle is a universal fact, something that holds true on every spot on planet Earth. It's a principle. It has power invested in it. You satisfy its conditions, the power within the principle is released to help you achieve your goals. You break the conditions of a principle, the power within the principle works against you. Our God is a God of principles. Sowing and reaping is principle. The seed is a principle. So material things are seeds. Money, we can use our money as a seed. And then there are what I call intangible seeds. By the way, our actions are also seeds. Amen? Our actions are seeds. You smile at people, they smile back at you. You frown at people, you get it. Matthew 7:1, he says, judge not so that you will not be judged. For with the same measure that you measure it out, so it will be measured back to you. So he was speaking along those lines in Luke 6:37, be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. In Luke 6:38, he said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I know we quote that with respect to money, but Jesus was speaking on a broader subject than that. He was talking about the need for you not to condemn other people and so on, to be kind towards them. So don't condemn other people. You condemn, it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give condemnation to your bosom. So you frown at people, it will be given back to you. Frowns, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give frowns to your bosom. Our actions are seeds. Yeah, some people say, I don't know what's wrong with them in that church. They don't smile at you. All of them just frown at you. So, did you smile at them? You know, the smile is one of those seeds that you sow and you get instant harvest. Try it on someone. When you smile at people, they smile back. It's almost automatic. Good. Our actions are seeds. You give love, you get love. Even if you don't get it back from the person you showed it to, it's coming back to you. It's a law. Show love. Show kindness. Be generous. It's coming back. Show mercy. It's coming back. There are what I call intangible seeds. Words are seeds. Words. Powerful seeds, sir. Remember again my illustration, tracing our oranges back to the Garden of Eden. So if we get back to the first orange tree that had orange fruits and seeds in the Garden of Eden, if I ask, where did that one come from? The soil, isn't it? Grew out of the soil. How? God spoke into the soil. See? The original seed is the word. What went into the soil and the orange tree came up was the word. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. The realities of your life today are the harvest of the seeds you sowed with your mouth yesterday. And the realities of your life tomorrow will be the harvest of the seeds you are sowing with your mouth today. Several years ago, I began to tell people I can never be poor again the rest of my life. I was unemployed. I didn't have a job. I was in the Lauren Quarren State. I was telling people, I am not a local champion. I'm a world champion. Just watch out for me. I'm going to the world. A deacon came to me and said, you know what? Some of us were discussing somewhere and they said I should come and tell you and your friends. They said, who is close to these young people? Go and tell them that they should find something useful to do with their lives. instead of bragging all over the place and following this, their pastor who rides on a motorcycle. Because my pastor used to ride on a motorbike. Then he used to brag in God. So we too used to brag in God. I look back today and I thank God that I bragged. What I said is what I'm seeing. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What God said was what God saw. What you say is what you will see. Amen? Some journalists asked me some years ago. They said, there were two of them. They said, people say you are so rich, you are planning to buy a jet. And this was over 10 years ago. He said, people say you are so rich, you are even planning to buy a jet. Is it true? The first thing I said was, yes. They said, wow. I said, well, let me explain it to you. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is the way it works. Mm-hmm. I say it, then I see it. Okay? Okay? So, whatever I'm seeing today, I said it yesterday. So, the one I'm going to see tomorrow, that's the one I'm seeing today. They said, okay, now we understand. Words are seeds. Thoughts are seeds. Thoughts, ideas, dreams are seeds. There is nothing that has value that man has created. This microphone, the loudspeaker, the projector, the camera, the car that brought you here, even this building. There is nothing that man has created that did not exist first as a thought in somebody's mind. Nothing. The seed is the thought. The product or service is only a harvest. So when God says seeds, I just explained all that so your expectation can be accurate. Because what God is going to drop here will revolutionize somebody's life. I should add that it is only God that has the power to make seeds to grow. Only God, sir. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. He said, God gave the increase. You do your part, plant your seed, make sure it's in the right soil, the conditions are right, there's nothing else you can do after that. The power that causes a seed to germinate and to grow is an invisible power. It's the power of God. And that's the symbol of the Holy Spirit in your life. As long as God is in your life, there is hope that your seed will grow. I came to tell someone here today, you've been sowing seeds in your life. Your seeds will not die. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, this begins a season of fruitfulness. Today among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Okay, this is how it turns. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. Shall doubtless. God will make sure that the seed grows. Because I know someone will say, but I've been sowing. I've been speaking. I've been working. I've been investing. Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6